old business, the minutes. Could everybody take a look at those and see if we're going to approve any of that or all of it?
Minutes be accepted as presented.
I need a second.
Second.
Well, first and second, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? None of those. Okay. The minutes are approved. So we're going to have a report from the Secretary of State's office on the financial activity of Bingo.
Actually,
Pledge.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the board, I reported at the last meeting that it seemed like Bingo was kind of leveling off. So the charts that you have in your folder this time pretty much validate that.
Yeah.
If we look at, we'll start with the occasions by quarter first.
Occasions have leveled off. They've taken a little
dip. But the number of players has really leveled off.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. So the actual number of players per occasion seems to be holding fairly steady, although I understand from Mr. Gomes that his numbers are really skewing the charts. So.
Sure.
Gross wagered by quarter appears to be leveling off, still in a slight decline, but nothing like we'd seen back in 06.
Uh-huh.
The gross per quarter for Bingo has leveled off. Pull tabs have actually gone up, so it seems like you're selling more pull tabs at your occasions. And these do not include, this chart does not include pull tabs sold at bars and club rooms. It's just strictly Bingo occasions.
And is it progressive pull tabs included?
That includes progressives. Although the number of progressive pull tabs every quarter is continuing to decline.
Uh-huh.
Number of raffles has started to increase. And I don't have, oh, yeah, the last one here is the raffle gross per raffle by quarter. And you can see that the gross is down, but the trend line is still continuing up. So more people are offering more higher value prizes, I guess. They're getting more people to attend the raffles.
Mm-hmm.
And this doesn't reflect any of these home raffles that we have out there right now because none of them have gone to the drawing yet. So that concludes my financial report. As you know, both the House and the Senate voted by a two-thirds margin on the referred measure HCR 1003, which will go on the ballot in 2010, and that provision would have the electorate vote on a constitutional amendment which would take the licensing functions out of the Secretary of State and move them to some other department. HCR 1003 says that if it's voted up, next November, immediately all functions will transfer over to the Department of Revenue. So that would be both licensing and regulation. And then in the session for 2011, the legislature would write a bill that would either keep it in revenue or move it to some other agency.
Yeah,
right.
Okay.
The bill as written leaves between the time of the vote in November and the time of the legislation in the next session, it still requires that an organization have been in existence for 5 years. One of the things that was sent over was to eliminate the membership, the dues-paying membership requirements. That was left in. We are getting right now some pushback, both from the office here and from the Attorney General, that we have been pretty lax in terms of how we grant licenses to organizations that really don't have a dues-paying membership. So it's very possible that leaving that language in the Constitution, you'll see fewer licensees under the Department of Revenue than you've seen under us. So it's up to the electorate now, a year and a half from now. Any questions?
Yes. And I'm sure John has some. What in the Constitution, we had talked about prior to this referendum about potential employee remuneration, right? And what is that situation? It's I know it's not in here. What I want to know is where are we in regards to that and what must we do?
There's nothing you can do right now. The resolution has passed. It will go to the voters as written. It was submitted to the DORA when they did the audit, and I had given DORA suggested language that included that provision for paid employees. That provision was not put into the resolution, and so right now it would be up to the Department of Revenue and the Attorney General to determine whether they interpret the Constitution as written to include paid employees. Right now, the way I read it, it doesn't. It would not allow you to have paid callers, et cetera.
And so this referendum goes to a vote at the end of 2010, or November 2010.
Yes, sir.
But there's another legislative process prior to that in 2010, I mean next session.
In 2010, there is another session.
And can we get either an addition to this referendum or another referendum to talk about those issues? To Corky. Corky, Kyle said we can do that. And so that's something we need to look into at the next session with the same people or other people. Okay. And is that an issue for anyone?
The secretary, let me back up. The original draft constitutional amendment was run through Secretary Kaufman when the audit was done here under his purview. The new secretary has said that he doesn't object to it going to a different agency, but he's not going to take any position on substantive changes to the Constitution.
Okay. Thank you. Do we have any other input from in regards to what I just said?
Or
sure.
If this passes,
here's the
what I'm getting at is in the church
you do not have dues paying members,
right?
The Constitution is pretty specific and the statute is pretty specific that says we only give licenses to organizations that have dues paying members. I think that historically, we probably said if your parishioners pay
tithing,
you know, you have dues-paying members. But we have a lot of organizations, quilting clubs, et cetera, that, you know, they're a small group of people. They run a raffle once a year, and they don't have dues-paying members. We have taken a position, and it goes way back, a lot further back than I've been with the Secretary of State, about saying, well, if you volunteer your time, then that's considered to be dues paying. I'm not sure that that's an accurate reading of the Constitution. And certainly, if it goes to revenue, they have a totally different viewpoint on that. The same thing with board-only organizations. The Constitution says you have to have members. We get numerous applications in from board-only organizations, and their articles say we have no members, and the board members don't pay dues. So we have been giving licenses to those groups under some legal theory going back into the dark ages. Again, I'm not sure that those groups would qualify under the existing constitutional provisions.
So will the current groups be grandfathered in, or will they?
That would be up to Department of Revenue. After November, I mean, we'll assume, for purposes of argument, that the voters say, yeah, sounds good to me. Immediately, all the functions are transferred over to revenue. Now, the deputy has indicated that we might want to go into the session next year and say, well, let's give us a little time to make this transition, because we're talking about moving an entire database of our historical stuff over to revenue. We're not even sure that they have the capability of
reading it,
of getting that data into their database.
Yeah.
So we might want to have a transition there. But if that doesn't happen, come November 10th or whatever it is, we say, see ya.
And your compliance go to revenue? So Rudy and his guys all go to revenue?
That's one of the issues. The transfer is supposed to take the whole program, which means office equipment and personnel and everything else.
The whole thing, yeah.
And move it over to revenue. And revenue has, and Mr. Kyle can probably tell you that they've all of a sudden started saying, we're not sure about this now. So there are a lot of things in the mix that we don't really have any control over at this point.
In other words, if it goes to revenue, chance.
There is that chance, yes, sir. Depending on how they interpret the Constitution and how the new statute is written.
That's not an issue. If you do it, you know.
Could you start charging a dollar to each member?
Don.
Don
Amon.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I've been to most of the advisory board meetings, where the advisory board.
And I don't disagree. The problem is it went so fast with the legislature in regards to this bill, you know.
With all due respect, sir, the legislation out of the 2008 session required us,
To look into it.
We worked with Department of Revenue. We submitted a report pursuant to the statute prior to December 31st, and nothing came out of it until 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Right. That's
and
what, yeah.
Representative Lambert submitted the bill, and it went bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah, I know. I'm not suggesting that the Secretary of State's office did anything in this regard. I'm saying that the legislature, all of a sudden, there was like a real rapid movement on getting a bill passed. It didn't take very many weeks, if I recall couple, two, 3 weeks, if I get that correct, and so that was an issue. We can still today or any day do what you're saying, John, and we still have a whole nother year from November to do some legislative things and other things like that and get the legislators on board with whatever it is the board would say or any of those kinds of things. And I know it's not a Secretary of State's issue. It's the legislative issue, and it's a Bingo Advisory Board to give their opinion issue and things like that. Yes, Patrick. Well, Patrick Ryan, I believe.
For the record, and just clarification, I'm not sure of my understanding of this. That's why I'd like to get this. Were elements of the board involved in getting this considered to be moved out of our office?
I'm gonna answer that question. Absolutely not.
I think this is
that was done by the legislature. It was done by what's his name?
Department of Regulation.
Wiseman. No, what's the guy? That's the bartender.
What was the recommendation?
Paul Wiseman. It was his recommendation that in the Sunset Review or one of those
Robert
places.
Holt did, but what did Robert Holden on the Sunset
but it was,
Review?
It was the legislation who asked them to do that, to look into this, and the Secretary of State to look into it. It wasn't have anything
right,
to do with it.
What was their Dora's recommendation was move it to the Department of Revenue?
No, their recommendation was not to move it to the Department of Revenue.
So
Dora was for it to stay here.
Yeah, Dora said no when the Sunset
that's
happened.
That's a good question. How did it move forward if Dora, the Sunset Committee, went ahead and put, the state spent all this money to have Dora produce a report and all these man hours?
The Secretary of State's office doesn't know that, Dave. What happened is Wiseman, whatever committee he was on, right, decided he thought it should go to revenue. And so he began pushing that process from a legislative point of view. And that's how it happened. Because Dora had said they didn't think it should go to there, and it was after that he said he thought it should. And that's how things happen in government sometimes. So we have Corky. We're able to go to the legislature and make recommendations and tell them what the board feels, what the vote is, all of those kinds of things, because the Secretary of State is really keeping a hands-off, if my
that's
understanding.
That's correct.
And I think that's a good thing, that they're not saying anything. They're keeping hands-off.
But any decision.
But it's our job to go to the legislature and get the things that we want and how we want them. Now, getting this bill amended is what's going to have to happen, if it's going to happen at all. And if it doesn't, then that's what's going to happen. And we can't do anything till next legislation, next January. February, we can begin the process, right? Well, we can start talking before that.
The other part of that bill, too, is
yeah, and that's a whole another issue that it doesn't affect the fundamental things of the current licensees like Austin is talking about or others are talking about. There's lots of issues that are dangerous for the charities with this kind of legislation going on, in my opinion.
It could go either way. You could benefit from it or you could be hurt by it.
Right.
Can't really say one way or the other because I can't divine the minds of Department of Revenue.
Right, and so we're going to have to do, as a board, we're going to have to do several things. We're going to have to talk to legislators, and we're going to have to talk to the Department of Revenue and see what their input would be regarding different things that we would recommend or not recommend, because that's who we are. We are the Bingo Advisory Board set up by the legislature, and so we are allowed to talk to them and tell them how we feel and where are they at and what are they doing and all of those things. And I think we have to make an effort, not just me, but all of us have to make an effort to accomplish that. with several meetings if necessary.
Your interest as well.
Regarding that. And it's, and the Secretary of State can't do anything for us other than just what they're doing, which is, okay, so we're just waiting to see what happens.
So, but if the Department of Revenue says that we like this, and we go ahead and everything starts moving in that direction because we think it might be moving there, and then all of a sudden, we don't want it, and it goes back to you, is the whole process... I mean, is it futile?
That's a possibility, too, that it, Revenue could say no. DORA could say no. Revenue is probably the most likely place to put it. DORA would probably be next. You know, part of the problem is that you have a statewide elected official running a program where the people who he regulates donate to his campaign. That becomes a little bit problematic from a political standpoint.
Why does almost every state run it through the Secretary of State?
Oh, they actually don't.
They run
most of it's run through
various
revenue,
various departments. They go through various departments.
You're the only one, David, that has it. Doesn't Missouri have it through the Secretary of State's office?
And we're the only one that has it. Well, I think we're one of two that actually has it built into the Constitution. Everything else is in the statute, so it could be modified.
So. Well, so we have our work cut out for us. If we have issues, we have to go to the right people to deal with the issues. And right now, the Secretary of State's done all they can in regards to what their job is.
Right. All they're actually doing in voting on this constitutional amendment is saying that the legislature has the authority to designate where it's going to be. It just removes the wording Secretary of State from the Constitution and puts in the language as designated by the legislature.
Yeah. But if the revenue says we don't want Constitution was passed.
They could put it somewhere else.
And the legislature can put it wherever they want.
They could put it right where back it is here. Or put it under somebody right. else. Yeah. Is there a financial impact on this referendum, Corky? I would. Somebody's software is going to have to read their software, that's all I can say, and that's not going to be free.
I really haven't seen the Department of Revenue's fiscal note. We just said we're going to lose the revenue from fees and filings, but we would also lose these guys, and so the cost kind of offset. And then revenue probably put in, okay, we're going to gain that same amount of revenue or more if they increase fees. And they may decide that they're going to absorb the personnel or they're going to use existing personnel within revenue. That particular part of it hasn't been worked out, and I don't know what kind of fiscal note their IT department put on it. Yeah. We put a small amount on it for, you know, grabbing the data and then shoving it over to them in some kind of format that they can read.
Yeah. John, we can vote on your suggestion, but I don't know if we have a quorum. Do we have a quorum?
No.
I don't think so either. So we can't vote on it today. All right. What is it, nine people, eight or nine people? I mean, there are several positions open. So what do we have? One, two. We have only two missing.
Six.
Yeah, so we do have a quorum. Okay, so we got to have one more. That's fine. We got plenty of time to vote on that. You know? We have. What's going on at the legislature with the new members? For goodness sakes. No, to the board. You know all the.
I know that one finally. President
Who is it? Oh, finally?
Yeah, so we'll see what happens.
What does that mean?
Him. John.
So why don't you come and vote?
Because he hasn't gotten a letter. They haven't gotten a letter yet.
You haven't seen a letter yet.
Well, it's really up to the chairman. You haven't gotten a letter.
I haven't gotten a letter yet. I'm the one who needs to get a letter. That's right. We haven't got a letter yet. So if you could get the letter, Corky, appreciate it. And then John Smith's application is in, right? And you're working on that. Okay. All right. So we have our, so the board, I want to say this to the board again. We have work to do, and we can begin the work we have right now. We can go to the Department of Revenue. We can go to the legislators. We can do all of those things, and we should begin doing that. So when we call you or say we have to have a meeting, we need some help and response.
So are we going to?
We're going to set up a meeting with the Department of Revenue.
And say, can we make changes or additions to this?
Until next January.
Right. Oh, okay, so it's a done deal.
And what we have to do is work on that next go around. And that gave you. It doesn't happen until 2000.
Right. So we might be able to get it amended.
A year and a half away.
That's what we're going to work on.
Right, so if
getting it amended if we can. But in the meantime, if we can't, we need to work with the Department of Revenue to see where they really are in regards to all of our issues.
Paying members everything.
We need a report, yes. Uh-huh. What are you guys going to do?
We're not going to do anything. That,
if it happens, what are you going to do?
Follow the law.
I see you doing cartwheels.
Well, maybe we can get them on the board, you know. Yeah, that's it, yeah. Flying helicopters and playing golf. Yeah, flying helicopters and playing golf, that's
I'm retiring next October.
Are you? Congrats.
By the time all this happens, I won't even be worried about it.
Yeah, he's not very worried about it right now, I don't think. I don't know.
It is what it is, you know.
That's right. That is, yeah.
We don't know why Weissman brought it up. I mean, it was actually, it's been an issue about being in this office for quite a few years, going way back to Natalie Meyer's day.
Yeah.
And numerous audits, and it's come up in the last three sunset reviews, that they said should be moved out of this office and put in revenue. Or put in some other agency of the governor's office. And so it was brought up again in the last sunset review. We made some suggestions based on the view of the previous Secretary of State. And as you stated already, it didn't make it into the final report.
Right.
So where Representative Weissman got the idea that it should be at least looked at again, I don't know. I wasn't here.
I was here, and he was, and it was off the wall when we met with him. That's my opinion. I mean, there wasn't any good reason that he stated. Let me put it that way.
Except he may have looked at previous sunset reviews and saw the recommendation in there. So, who knows?
Only God knows. And he's not telling. All right. Where are we? So that was the referendum.
Get any calls, Austin?
Okay, so let me, has anybody met? Tom Bednard, he's our newest board member. He got his name and everything. So he's in Fat City, Colorado Youth Basketball. So he's the newest board member.
Good morning.
At the moment. And he's going to be the next one. But we've been saying that for a year and a half, I think, something like that. Okay. So is there any more discussion, or have you, as the gosh darn it, sorry, you guys, Secretary of State heard anything regarding compliance on the new electronic stuff we talked about last time?
Get the letter. We got the first of May.
Okay, we just got the letter in from Game Tech on the equipment that they demonstrated in here. But I noticed from the last minutes you were going to seek out responses from the people that looked at it.
And I also brought up that I would go ahead and look into what took place in Wyoming. So I guess that might be a nice little segue. Basically, it opened up a can of worms looking at Wyoming and started to make me unfortunately have to look into other states, which, you know, whatever the board decides to, if they want me to go ahead and look into those states, I can. I started to look into California after I got this information on Wyoming. But the court concluded that the district court found and concluded correctly in the end that the specific electronic game, Fast Action Bingo, which took a little research, but it was a Game Tech product and machine, was similar in nature to the game of was not similar to the game of bingo, excluded from gambling in 1971. And then they go on to talk about, you know, the evidence clearly showed that the vast differences between traditional bingo and fast action bingo, the latter is illegal because it is not a game of bingo accepted from the statutory ban, because it utilizes gambling. So what I did at that point was looked into California, and this is a copy for you guys if you'd like. What happened in California was unfortunate, that they almost threw it out with the bathwater, all electronics, which would have put us backwards if it would happen here, and said we're not going to have any type of electronics, and they finally allowed regular, you know, handheld units to still be used. So I think that it's something that we should look at before we jump, because the one thing that was interesting is I don't know how come it was so difficult to find out that Game Tech was involved, because everybody else is mentioned in the lawsuit.
So California said you can keep the regular TEDs or
right.
electronics.
Yes.
Excuse me for using that.
It's okay.
But they threw out the other stuff?
Yeah. So, but it was, they almost threw everything out with the bathwater.
So the answer,
and so that would be a huge
checking
step.
Checking with
back.
Players and others like that. Right now, we don't have a strong consensus that it's a thing that would be, that is in a normal bingo hall setting, that it would be a strong money-making proposition. Oh, and that the players from time to time would play it, but it's not something they feel would cause them to spend more money or add revenue to the charities. On the other hand, we found that the probability that clubs and others like that would really benefit from that, it looks like, and have a big interest in that, similar to how the military would use it. And so I think those are the two distinctions that so far that we've run into. Even if all the compliance were to come in, regardless of what the manufacturer would say, I can't find a consensus on this is going to be significantly beneficial to the charities.
Have we checked with the Department of Gaming to see whether or not they classify it as a Class 2 or a Class 3 machine?
Department of Revenue, you're talking about?
Well, whoever's going to, I think.
Division of Gaming. We did.
And so.
And?
The conclusion was that it is not a Class 3 gaming device.
Okay.
It's not a slot machine.
Right. So it has potential.
Yeah, the problem that we run into right now is that we would have to modify our rules, and Rudy's looked into this a lot more than I have recently. if, you know, it's going to be 4 to 6 months to get rules done, then you're looking at having rules in effect for a few months, then you go into election, and all of a sudden something else happens. So you might end up buying or leasing equipment that becomes very quickly obsolete because of the new regime.
Yeah. The way they're planning on, I don't think that's so much of an issue. The way they're planning on selling is the way they sell it, like paper, on a per-game basis, so much for, you know, rather than leasing it or buying it or any of those things. But that's beside the point. The point is it worth it, right, to the charities?
Okay.
And it is to the clubs, you know, like Pizzuti's or any of the other guys. I believe that they would use it significantly. Pizzuti, when he talked last time, he said, if we had those, we'd get rid of our regular Rego game and just use those. What he said, but that's one group of people, and that group of people is a good group of people. I'm not saying they're not a good group of people. You know, they are a good group of people, so it might be useful for them, from a bingo hall, commercial hall point of view, to run it with the different charities necessary to run it and do all of that thing. It becomes very cumbersome.
Well, we just got the letter in, so that started the 45-day process.
Uh-huh.
We need to get a response back to them. But right now, with as much stuff as we have on our plate, it's not really a high priority.
Yeah.
Just a real quick question. I thought the determining factor between 2 and 3 is that, one, if it's a game of bingo, we know that there is going to be a winner every time. And this game does not have that.
Right.
So how did they make that determination?
Who?
To make it to
revenue,
the revenue
gaming? Doesn't look at it in terms of bingo. They only look at it in terms of the device and whether it falls in that category of a Class 3 gaming device. And they claimed that it didn't, and they ran it through their experts over there. Norm Adams had submitted the request a few weeks ago, actually a month and a half ago, and we just got back the response here about a week and a half ago.
If I thought we were going to make a lot of money, we'd be pushing it like crazy. But we could ask a charity or two what they think. You know,
I wasn't here for their presentation, but you know, my gut feeling is it sounds like it's more work and paperwork, perhaps, than it's worth from a games manager standpoint.
Austin doesn't want any electronics, so it doesn't matter.
Frankly, I think it's a game for the clubs and the bars.
I agree with you, Austin.
For a bingo hall.
Yeah, I agree with you. It is good for a club, no doubt. John, do you want to have anything to say? Well, that could be, but first we have to get the law to decide first, you know.
They may
not work in the bingo halls? Yeah. I know. I think that's true. The other question is if it's going to be allowable. That's the other question.
I mean, I just, you know, the thing that when I talk to different groups in regards to it, letting private enterprise or whatever, the nonprofit winds up getting screwed anyway.
Well,
if it doesn't sell, it doesn't
cost. Yeah, I don't.
Well, they were talking, and it was before I started in bingo, when they were talking about a pull tab machine that there was a lot of problem with. Yes. Yes. Tab Force.
This is not a full tab.
No, I understand, but that was the closest reference that I kept getting in my area of town. Now I don't know why what it was in that end of town.
left a bad taste in the mouth of most licensees.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have to, you know.
My real concern is for the all of the licensing authority and the compliance people to give us input. You know, is there a way to do it or not do it? And if there's not a way to do it, then it's not going to be made, you know? And if there is...
You'll get a copy of the letter that we send back to them.
Okay, that'd be good. Okay. Yeah, and we can go from there, you know, because I've asked them a number of times, but they never do anything very quickly. I don't mean you guys. I mean Game Tech. Or anybody else that is similar to them.
He did not return my call.
All right. Okay, that's that discussion, and there wasn't much resolution yet. There isn't anybody here to discuss in 2009 that I can see clearly, is there? Anybody want to talk about anything else, bingo-wise? So we probably should set up the next meeting, and I suggest we do it after the summer's over, because there's not much going on, right?
Ten.
You think? Is that good?
I think that's an excellent suggestion.
Okay. All right. So let's look at October, whatever that week in October is, Rudy. Does that sound reasonable to everybody?
October 14th.
Sounds good. Let me put it in my calendar. October 14th. In the meantime, we'll be getting a hold of you, Dave, and Tom, and Austin, if he wants, and anybody else to start on this process of getting what we want done, you know, regarding other people.
I'm in.
Okay. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Second.
First and second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Meeting's adjourned. That was too easy, you know.
Just one caveat on the financials. I just noticed that we don't all the reports for the first quarter should be in. They're not. So the numbers that you see on the graphs will probably tick up a little bit by the next meeting. In fact, you'll have the second quarter done by that time, but
right.
The reports. It's unfortunate that licensees can't seem to get their stuff in on time, but we're about 300, roughly, licensees less than what we should be at this time, which means they just haven't reported.
Okay. So. And so we'll be close in the third quarter also on.